Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Deuteronomy chapter number six. And we're going to look at some things on our series on the home tonight. And Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'll say this to you. If you're interested in the book that I'm going through as we're working through this series on the home, you can go to Striving Together Publications, and it's called Making Home Work. And you can buy the book off of there. And it's one that I'm teaching through, going right down through that book. Which they have some great, great, great curriculum. We use it, I know, in the young adult Sunday school class. The teenage girls class, I know, uses it some. Teenage boys class has used it some also. But I'm thankful for those that are writing good curriculum in this day. That's getting harder and harder to find, but I'm thankful for that. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I don't know about anybody else's allergies, but man, the past few days, mine has been crazy. So I've been taking allergy medicine, and it dries us out. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, let's stand in honor and reverence the reading of God's Word, and we're going to read the first 8 verses here, the first 7 or 8 verses here. And I'll give you a little thought tonight out of this. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou," now note this, "and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Bible said in verse number 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Bible said in verse number 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Now go back with me to verse number 7. The Bible said this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on teaching our children teaching our children the right thing. Not just teaching them, but teaching them the right thing based on the Word of God. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight as we look into your Word. I pray that we would get understanding from it, God. I pray, Lord, that we would apply, Lord, the truths of thy Word to our heart tonight. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to look into these verses tonight and talk to us a little while about teaching teaching our children from the Word of God. Now, I want to make this statement before I go any further in the message tonight or in the lesson, because I'm probably going to teach more than preach tonight, but I want to make this statement to you tonight. I do not have perfect children, and I don't know the perfect way to raise children. However, I do have a perfect Bible that teaches me the way to raise my children. Now, we can all say amen to that tonight. I'm sure that if we would all agree, that's parents here tonight, we could agree on this statement that we have failed in teaching our children the right way sometimes. I know that I have, and I'm sure that you would agree with me on that, that we have missed the mark sometimes in what to teach our children. But the greatest responsibility that God has entrusted us with as parents tonight with is this right here. It's how to teach our children the things of God, and to train our children not just to be good citizens and not just to be successful in life, but to train them to be godly men and women when they grow up one day. I was reading, and one said this: children have a way of gleaning life lessons from their experiences. They have a way of gleaning life lessons from their experiences. Let me read you a few things that it said. Here's what Michael, 14 years old, said. He said, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid, never answer him. I agree with that. Michael also said this, 14 years old. Apparently, he had a lot of opportunities to learn in his life. He said, never tell your mama her diet isn't working. Boy, I'd say amen to that one. What about Patrick, age 10? Here's what he said. Never trust a dog to watch your food. Never trust a dog to watch your food. Here's what one young man, Andrew, 9 years old, said. He said, puppies still have bad breath even after eating Tic Tacs. Armor 9 says this: you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Evidently, he didn't like broccoli. Naomi, 15 years old, said this: if you want a kitten, start by asking your parents for a horse. Laura, 9 years old, said this: felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Ellen, 8 years old, said this: never try to baptize a cat. Never try to baptize a cat. She said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this: kids learn life lessons by their experiences. They learn by that. Children don't learn spiritual truths without a teacher. Children do not learn spiritual truths without a teacher. They need a mom and a dad who will instill the eternal truths of God's Word into their mind as they are growing up. I want to say this to you. The Bible said this, and I'll make reference to this again as I go throughout the message tonight, but the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 6, to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That instruction is to the parent tonight. It's up to us. It's us as the parents' responsibility to teach and to train our children. God didn't give us children to train us. He give us children for us to train them. You know, a lot of parents has got this thing backwards tonight. They think that the children is supposed to tell them how they're going to do, how they're going to dress, how they're going to live. And we as the parent just needs to be their best friend and allow them to do that. But that's not scriptural tonight. Nowhere, matter of fact, nowhere in the Bible am I instructed to be my kid's best friend. Nowhere in the Bible am I instructed to do that. Nowhere in the Bible am I instructed to allow my kids to teach me how they're supposed to live. But I am instructed by the Bible tonight to train my children and to teach my children. in today's public schools, and let me just time out right here, I'm not against all the public school systems. I'm not against those that work in public schools. We have several teachers sitting here tonight, and thank God for Christians in the public schools. But in today's public schools, for instance, the sex education program begins at a very young age, sometimes as early as first grade. Earlier still, schools are conditioning children to accept homosexuality and transgender ideas as the normal today, but it is not the normal today. It is not the normal today. I would say this, we live in an increasingly God-rejecting culture today, and across every sector of our society, including education, entertainment, and every form of media, there are people eager to influence our hearts and our minds and the hearts and the minds of our children with ungodly philosophies that are basically not, and not basically, that they are not biblical truths today. They're not biblical truths today. You say, well, preacher, the kids have got to be introduced to it at some point in time. I agree with that statement, and they will be introduced to it at some point in time. And that's the reason it's so important for you and for me to train our children godly, so when this world is thrown at them, they have a foundation and a godly principle to stand on. A godly principle to stand on. I read some things in the Humanistic Manifesto published in 1933, was published in 1933, and one of the frameworks on which our modern public education system was built states, we affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience and need no theological sanction. In other words, what they're saying is this: we want to teach your children to live without the knowledge or awareness of a need for God. Hear me and hear me well. Our children need to know that they need God, because the day will come in their life that they will need God. How can Christian parents counter the overflowing amount of deception their children are encountering in today's society? The answer, though not complicated, requires much personal investment. We have to teach them the way of God. We have to teach them the way of God as parents tonight. Many parents assume that it's the job of the church and it's the job of the Sunday school teacher and it's the responsibility of the church house to teach their children to be Christ-honoring and how to have a Christ-honoring family, when the reality of that, it is not the job of the church or the responsibility of the church to do that. It is the responsibility of the parent to do that. Yes, we are going to echo that as a church. And yes, our teachers are going to echo that as Sunday school teachers and Awana teachers and as youth workers. But it all has to start at the house. All has to start at the house. What did he say in verse number 7? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest, what? In thine house. Didn't say nothing about the church right there. Amen. Didn't say nothing. If y'all help me, we'll get done quicker tonight. It didn't say nothing about the church right there. It said that you as the parent are to teach them in the house. The Bible said this in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. You see, God has entrusted that to us to raise our children in the way that they should go. Let me show you a few things tonight in how to teach our children in the way that they should go. Number one, I would say this to you. We need to teach with passion tonight. We need to teach with passion tonight. Have you ever sat underneath an apathetic teacher? whether formally or informally, if someone tries to teach us something, but we don't sense he really believes in what he's teaching in, are we really going to believe it? The problem is today we're teaching our children to do this, this, and this, but there's really no passion in that. There's really no passion in that. Why is it that 80 to 85% of so many, 80 to 85%, man, that is a large percentage tonight. 80 to 85% of all of the kids that is raised in a Christian home, they're saying today, after they reach adulthood and get out of that home that they was raised in, are not returning to the house of God. Why is it? Maybe it's because there's some parents at home that are hypocritical. They say one thing at church, they live one way at church, but when they go home, they are not instilling the doctrines of the Word of God in their children while they're sitting in their homes. Fathers, we're to do it passionately tonight. We're to do it passionately tonight. I want to say this to you tonight. We should have a passion for the house of God. We should have a passion for the Word of God. Amen tonight. We should have a passion for the things of God tonight. We should love God and we should love His house. And we should have a desire to raise our children around the house of God. Around the house of God. Well, if we're going to teach with a passion, number one, I would say this, there must be a personal love for the Lord. There must be a personal love for the Lord. Your children know what you get passionate about. They see your level of enthusiasm about projects or hobbies in which you are investing your life into. Can I say something to you tonight? The Bible said in our text tonight that we are to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all of thy might. In other words, what he is saying to us tonight is this. We are to teach our children that we love the Lord. Can I say this to you tonight? I don't have to question some things that you love. Let me tell you the reason why. I just know. I just know. Let me talk to you about 15 minutes tonight, and I'll tell you where your heart is and what you love the most. Are you with me tonight? Let me talk to you about 10 or 15 minutes and we'll know where your heart is at. If we're going to teach our children passionately tonight, if these young men are going to grow up to be godly men, if these young ladies are going to grow up to be godly ladies, they're going to have to see a love for God in us as the adults tonight. God calls us to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might. The heart refers to our inner parts, the determination of our will, our conscience. To love God with all of our heart excludes lukewarm or passive measures. It demands passion and genuine affection for God. The problem is this tonight, so many's just lukewarm. They're just lukewarm, and it's Sunday night, so you can say amen with me right here. There's no need to die and dry up right here. But so many are just lukewarm. They go to church when it's convenient for them. They'll teach their kids about the Bible if it's convenient for them. They'll pray with their kids if it's convenient for them. But the Bible said that we're to love Him with all of our heart. It's a passion tonight. It's a determination tonight. We're going to love Him with everything. The heart refers to our inner part. The soul refers to our life itself, our identity, the core of who we are. To love God with all of our soul means to love Him wholly tonight. It means we've surrendered every area of our life to Him and aren't publicly saying that we love God in the public, but privately we're showing our children that we really don't love God, and we're practicing sinful activities in the private to our children. Now, I'm going to say something to you tonight. To love Him with all of our soul is to give Him everything. It's to make Him Lord of our life. Leslie and I was talking to a lady this afternoon, and I told him, I said, here's what I said. I said, everybody's interested in the Savior. Everybody's interested in Him being our Savior. We want Him to save us from our sins. We want Him to take us to heaven. We want Him, when everything's going wrong, to be our Savior and come as a shining knight running in to help us. But there's not many people today that's really interested in Him being Lord. See, there's a big difference. When He's Lord of everything. It's not that, help me tonight, Lord. It's not that we have this false assumption, and I get so sick and tired. Man, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail right here, Brother Ramsey, but I get so sick and tired of, the Lord just wants me to be happy. Where's that at in the Bible? Do you think Paul was happy when he was sitting in prison? We have this mindset today. Just trust your heart. Where's that at in the Bible? You're not going to find that in the Bible. But he says this, who can trust the heart? It's wicked. It's wicked tonight. And when he is saying to us that we love him with all of our soul, he's saying that we give him everything, that every aspect of our life, it's his tonight. He says that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, but all of our might. Our might refers to our energy. To love God with all of our might means that we invest ourselves in his service. We just don't say we love him, but we put the elbow grease to our love. We serve him. We give to him. We witness for him. We pray to him. We invest our energy in the love for the things of God. And for God. A personal love for the Lord. If we're going to teach them passionately, it comes from a personal love for the Lord, but it'll come from a personal walk with the Lord. To teach our children passionately, they'll have to be a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. A personal walk with Him. There's a difference in saying I love the Lord and having a walk with the Lord. There's a lot of people says, I love the Lord, but boy, their lifestyle is right contrary to that. Their lifestyle is, well, amen tonight. I might just bog in preach about an hour right here. Their lifestyle is completely contrary to that. Their lifestyle does not line up with the Word of God. Man, they don't have a walk with God. Because you post a verse on Facebook don't mean you're walking with Jesus. Because you... look, I don't have to share the post to tell everybody I love Jesus. Okay, all those posts, share this to let everybody know you love Jesus. If I've got to share a post for you to know I love Jesus, then I don't love Jesus and something's wrong. It shouldn't have nothing to do with social media or wearing a shirt that says WWJD. It has to do with what's inside the heart. And what's inside the heart will come out the mouth. It's a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our kids know if we love him or not. And if we're going to teach them passionately, we have to have a personal walk with the Lord. I look at Bibles. You say, why do you look at Bibles? Well, number one, I look at Bibles because I like Bibles. And I've been praying about buying. I ain't bought no Bibles in a while, and I'm it's bad, Rodney. I'm on a Bible kick again. But I've done good. I've not pulled the trigger yet. There's one that I'm after, though, and as soon as I find it, Brother Joe, somebody plug Leslie's ears. I'm buying it just as soon as I can find it. If anybody finds the stone gray Canterbury in the full size like I carry, you can't find them no more. They quit printing them, and I can't find it. And Leslie said the other day, honey, it looks just like yours on the inside, but it don't on the outside. You with me? I look at Bibles. You know what you can tell a lot of times about somebody's life? By their Bible. Tell by the Bible. You can tell a Bible that's just been laid in a window and is dry rotted by the sun. Hello? You can tell a Bible that's just been picked up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You can. You handle something very much. And as much as I handle Bibles, you handle something very... I can pick up a Bible and tell you if it's been used much or not. You say, this Bible's 37 years old. If you got a Bible that's made it 37 years old, you ain't handled it very much. Hello, Tokyo. I'm just being honest with us tonight. We'll know our love for God and our personal walk with the Lord. Our children will know that. One of the greatest ways to prove your children that you love God is to display a joyful obedience to Him. What did He say? He said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. We cannot lead our children where we refuse to go ourselves. The reason a lot of children never make it in a spiritual walk with God is because parents have refused to go there themselves. Amen. If we want to teach them eternal truths, we must have a real and personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them with passion. Number two, teach them with persistency. Teach them with persistency. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible said this in verse number 6, these words have I commanded thee this day, shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them persistently. I looked that word persistent up, and here's what persistency means. It means persisting, especially in spite of opposition, obstacles, and discouragement. Now, what about that? Persisting, especially in spite of opposition, obstacles, and discouragement. Hear me and hear me well. If you don't hear nothing else that I say tonight, hear this. There's going to be obstacles that comes your way when you start trying to teach your children the right way. You want me to tell you how I can know if Sunday's going to be an over-the-average day? Here's the way I know it, Brother Ramsey. What happens the week before it? What happens the week before? Man, we had good liberty in the service today. This morning, man, they was, even though I preached on hell, man, they was liberty in the service today. Tonight, the choir was singing. I don't know about anybody else, but me and Brother Eric was feeling the Spirit of the Lord, and I was watching some of y'all as you's waving your hands. Man, I'm telling you, boy, that liberty was here, but I'm going to tell you something. And leading in today, it seemed like every demon in hell was on my back this week. If you're going to train your children or not, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be times that discouragement comes your way. There's going to be times you think, Brother Scotty, am I doing anything right? Be persistent. Listen to me right here. If it was wrong yesterday, it's wrong today. If you corrected them for it yesterday, you correct them for it today. One of the things that it's just pet peeve, just drives me crazy. I think I got scripture for it because it says be instant in season and out of season. Is to see parents get on to a kid, Brother Brian, and then that kid go right back and do the same thing again. They don't say nothing to them. And you wonder why there's a bunch of brats. Amen. Persistent. 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 You know what? I remember when I was a little boy going up, we'd go to Maxway in Yadkinville, where Lowe's Food is at. There used to be a Maxway there, Brother Matt. I don't know if you remember that or not. There used to be a Maxway. Anybody ever been to Maxway? Man, if you've never been to Maxway, you ain't living. I don't even know if there's Maxways exist. There's still Maxways today. Is it still there? And yeah, it's on the other side now, isn't it? Man, I'm going to Maxway tomorrow. We're going to take a field trip tomorrow. We're going to Maxway. I remember I'd go to Maxway, and they had Matchbox cars in there. And some of them was 49 cents, some of them was 99 cents. And I remember I used to ask, Mama, I want that Matchbox car. And she said, no. I didn't ask her again. I didn't ask her again. I did one time, but I didn't after that. Let me tell you the reason why. My mama knew what persistency was. She was persistent in whooping us. It wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, some people count to 1,003 instead of 3. My mom and daddy didn't take mathematics in school. They don't know how to count. But if it was wrong today, it was wrong yesterday, and it was going to be wrong tomorrow. If I got corrected for it today, I got corrected for it yesterday, and I was going to get corrected for it tomorrow. And you know what? It didn't take many of them corrections, and I found out, just quit doing it. Persistency. Persistency. I thought about this. The Bible said, thou shalt teach them diligently. Well, if we're going to teach them persistency, what do we need to teach? And I say this, teach them the truth. Teach them the truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God, we teach them the truth. We teach them the truth. I thought about this. As we're teaching them the truth, what's one way we can help teach them the truth? There's something that you need in your home. And let me just say something. There's a difference in a house and a home. Amen. I've been in a lot of houses. I've been in a few homes. There's some places that we go into, and me and Miss Leslie leaves, and we make this statement. Boy, there's just a sense of calmness in that home. We didn't say nothing about going in their house. We was in their home, because there's a difference. If you know what I'm saying, you know what? There's a difference in a house and a home. I grew up in a home. Yeah, there was a roof over it too, but I grew up in a home. I didn't grow up in a house. I grew up in a home. Here's some things that you need in that. Can I say just right off the bat, you need this, and you need a family altar in your home. Teaching our children. You need a family altar. You need a family. When I get about 4 or 5 amens, I'll move off of this. You need a family altar in your home. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time that you and your family prayed together? We want to raise our children right. We're taught by the Bible to do that. Every night before we go to bed, we have family altar. Every night. Matter of fact, the biggest part of the time, if I'm away, if I'm preaching somewhere, or if I'm traveling somewhere, if we're not together, the biggest part of the time we'll do it over the phone if we're not right there together. You need a time. Boy, I'm preaching good tonight, and I'm getting some looks. Well, I'm going to tell you something that's important in your home. Daddy, how long has it been since your kids heard you pray? Now, we take times praying. We take turns praying at our house at night before we go to bed. And a lot of times I'll say what I did to Brother Robert, can you get one through tonight? Livia, can you get one through tonight? Victoria, Madeline, can you get one through? Probably not. Somebody else needs to pray tonight. And I say, well, yep, you're the one that needs to pray tonight, and you pray until you get right and then get one through. Are you with me? But every night, Brother Ramsey, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. You need a family altar. The Bible said this in Deuteronomy 6:2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons. You need that family altar. One of the greatest problems in the Christian homes today, are you ready, is dropout dads. Now, I'm not saying it's all of usually if a woman goes haywire, she's way worse than a man's ever been. You can say amen or oh me. I'm just being most wicked people I've ever met in my life's been women. Now, I'm not against women. I'm not male chauvinist. I married a woman. I got 3 daughters, and there's about 42 nanny goats out there. Are you? But I'm being honest with you. Some of the foulest mouths that I've ever been around women. So I'm not saying every time it's the daddy's fault. Sometimes it is the mama's fault. Amen, Brother Jonathan. Y'all scared? You men scared to say amen, and you women sure ain't saying amen right now. But it's the truth. A lot of times anymore, we find that there's dropout dads. There's dropout dads. We find that there's dropout moms. One of the biggest problems. Why I'm gonna get in trouble right here. It's all right though. One of the biggest problems that hit America was in the Great Depression when the women went back to work. When you study the Word of God, you say, well, we can't make it on one income. Well, whose fault is that? I told you I was going to get in trouble. Matter of fact, probably in a couples retreat this year, that's what we're going to deal with the whole time in a couples retreat is finances. Setting the finances of our home upright. I'll never forget something Leonard Noonkester told me years ago. I hadn't been moved up here in no time. Leonard Noonkester looked at me. And he said, Jonathan, he said, it's not how much you make. It's what you do with what you make. Boy, that's truth today. Let me tell you what happens. Here's what happens so many times in the homes. They get married. They get in debt over their head. Young couples try to live where mom and daddy has worked their whole life to be. Somebody say amen. They find themselves in debt, so they have to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week, both of them. They hardly ever see each other. They're ill with their kids because they're so tired of working so hard and being so stressed out. They take every promotion that they can get because it's a little bit more money. And by the way, that's the root of all evil. I told you I was going to get in trouble, but I'm going to go home and not eat eggs and tater tots and go to bed. I'm just being honest with you tonight. And a lot of times we want to blame it on dropout dads, but it is the dad's first and foremost place to be the godly leader of the home. But it's also the mama's place to be there for the children. A lot of dads hides their wife's anniversary present in the oven. They don't know what a home-cooked meal is. What's happening in our country today? It's the way we have taught this generation. We've replaced the family altar because we're too tired to pray together anymore. We've replaced the roles in the home with wanting more money. Amen. So, preacher, how do I establish a family altar? I'm talking about teaching our children tonight. How do I establish it? Let me just give you something real simple. Set a time. When we go to bed, it's usually about 9 o'clock. When we go to bed, it's family altar time. We turn the TV off. We put our phones to the side. You say, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that? They'll be all right. Well, what if somebody calls from a church and needs something? I've got voicemail. And I tell you something, you leave me a voicemail and I'll get back in touch with you. You shoot me a text. I set a time and start simple. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Just pray together. One things that we do, we get prayer requests. Just start simple. I thought about this. Grow with your children. I grow listening to my children pray. I can tell a lot about the hearts of my children when I hear them pray. You know what's really interesting? And you say, why are you talking about your kids? Because I know my kids more than I know your kids, okay? I don't know how your kids pray. I'm probably going to get to know some of your kids next week a little bit better at youth camp. Let me tell you one thing that's almost said every time our children pray. Before they end their prayer, God be with everybody in our church tonight. Shows you where their heart's at. They've been trained to love the church. So, preacher, what do we need? Well, let me give you this last thing. We need to teach with passion. We need to teach with persistency. Man, be persistent in that family altar. Be persistent in that time. Be persistent in what you're teaching your children. But can I say this in closing tonight? Teach with patience. Teach with patience. You ever get frustrated? Teach with faith. Here's what he said. Come start playing softly so they'll have some hope. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4. I could do like Daddy. Just go over and sit. Don't start playing yet. Just go sit down. Now you can start playing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children. My kids can quote this verse better than any verse in the Bible. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Provoke not your children every once in a while. Olivia can't stand for you to touch her. She's not a hugger. She's not a handshaker. She's not a back patter. She wants you to touch her. So every once in a while, she's getting a hug from Daddy, whether she wants it or not. And I'll just grab her, Brian, and I'll squeeze her. I won't let her go nowhere. And she thinks she's big enough to get away from me. But she knows deep down inside, the old man still got it, and she ain't going nowhere if I don't want her to. And you know what she'll say? Your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's what she'll say to me. I don't know that it's really talking about that. What it's talking about is this, being patient with our kids. Our kids are not going to learn the first time we teach them something. They're not going to learn. I'll just give you a practical illustration. Olivia, and I guess it's pick on Olivia tonight. She'll be mad when we go home tonight. But Olivia, she's Olivia. Here's some things about Olivia. If Olivia don't talk to you, she's not mad at you. Olivia is not a people person. She's not. If you'll notice her after service, she'll get her mantle and she'll be gone. Don't fuss at her for that because she goes home on Sunday nights and gets supper started. Some of you mamas need to learn from that. She goes home and gets supper started. We get home on Sunday nights, and Miss Helen, she's already got the oven on. She's baking. I know it's hard for y'all to believe, but she's baking French fries. She's got the eggs out, scrambling them. And she's just not a people person. She don't like to be around a lot of people. She told me the other day, she said, "This is my last year in camp. I ain't going back." I said, "Well, go back if I tell you go back." "No, I ain't." She will too if I tell her to. But it's not that she's against church. She loves church. She loves the Lord. She reads her Bible. Some people's just not people person. People. They just don't like people. If she ever opens up to you, you've won her confidence. Now, Olivia has always loved animals. She just loves animals. And she's good with animals. She just likes animals. Not long ago, she fell in love with horses. So we went over to Brother Scotty's back there, and a lot of people don't know Brother Scotty well, but he's a real cowboy. I mean, he's not a make-believe. He's a real cowboy. It's what he does for a living and has for years. He's got several horses. And so Olivia started going over there, and Scotty started working with Olivia with them horses, and she started riding some. And I was watching Scotty the other day as he was working with her. And it was two or three times I wanted to go out there and go, "Did you not hear him? Do what he said do." But you know what Scotty done? "Now think about this. Now you can do it. You've got this. Do like this." And you know what happened? Before long, I seen her start doing that. He showed her how to tie a knot. And I she went to tie it and it wasn't right. And I was thinking back to my side of my mother, "Did you not just see him do that? Let's be real." He said, "No." And he untied her knot. He said, "Now watch this." She tied again. It wasn't right. And I was like, "Really? Let me tie the knot." I'd have done it wrong too, but. He said, "No." And he took her hand. He put her hand up there and he took her other hand. He looped it around. He said, "Like that." So she done again. It was wrong. He took it back apart again. Handed it back to her. Said, "If you're going to tie that knot and lead that horse, it's got to be tied right." We stood there in that stall, I bet 15 minutes. Well, I'm very patient, so it didn't bother me a bit. You know what? I learned something sitting there. Sometimes you just need to stop a second and be patient. Children are not us. Children do not get things like we do. What's common sense to us, one time we was a teenager, don't y'all get mad at me right here, but was as dumb as a box of rocks in common sense. We didn't have a lick of common sense. We didn't have a lick of it. Somebody was patient. And some still, you have to be patient with them, and they're adults with common sense. I'm just picking this two or three in here. He's going to call my name right now. Don't nobody point no fingers at nobody. You got to be patient with them. Sometimes these teenagers, I look at Miss Leslie and I'll go, if they was my kid. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all sitting around here ain't never been to youth camp. Yeah. About Wednesday next week, you're going to be going, if they was my kid. If they was my kid. I can just see Miss April Watson now about Wednesday. She's going to walk in there. Preacher. We've got to be patient with them. You know what? The truth of the matter is this. The next leaders of Amazing Grace Baptist Church could be sitting on the front row tonight. I didn't tell them to come up here. They just did. Probably won't no more. The next leaders of our church, the next pastor of this church, could be sitting on the front row right now. You feeling anything? You feeling anything? Jade? He thought about it. Paxton, you feeling anything? He's, no, not me. He's going to be the next IT man of the church. But the next leaders of our church is right here. And you know what? When they come running through the church and track mud everywhere, we really want to jerk them up and go, what are you thinking? Be patient with them. We teach passionately. We teach persistently. But we teach patiently. We teach. Somebody was patient with us one time. So God help us to teach our kids patiently tonight. Now that don't mean we let them run over top of us. Somebody give me an amen right there. But it does mean we have patience. Every once in a while, Leslie will say this to me. She's just 11, honey. And every once in a while, I say this to her. She's just 11. She's just 11, honey. You probably have to say to Tanya every once in a while, Addie's just 15. They don't have the common sense that we have. They're young. Their brains are not fully developed. Neither is ours sometimes. But their brains are not fully developed. And as bad as it hates me to say this, the boy's mind develops slower than even the girl's mind does. On some occasions. I mean, I was an exception, but on some occasions, it develops slower. So parents tonight, let's teach them passionately. Let's be passionate about God. Let's be passionate about the things of God. Let's make Him Lord and not just Savior. Let's teach them persistently. Stay with it. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And let's teach them patiently tonight. Father,